greetings tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. What a privilege to be here together again tonight. To me, it's a thrill to see your brother Paul here. I haven't heard him for a number of years now, but I remember hearing him when he was a little younger, maybe not much, but the thrill is to see men as they age, they still love the Word of God. That's a thrill. How many men have thrown in the towel over the years? You know, I know one bishop at my ordination. When I was ordained as a minister, a couple of years later, he left his wife. And I have another minister that was my teacher in Bible school. And a man I really loved and respected. A number of years later, he left everything. Yeah. This song we sang tonight reminds us what revival means or is supposed to do. It is to get you from here to there. And there is talking, when my life work is ended, what will it be for me and what will it be for you? Yesterday I was down by the lake here and the water was rough. Those waves, they were pounding in. I could look over to the Canadian side, the land of my dreams. No. I'm a Canadian, by the way. But I could look over. And here in this, in these verses, it says, I crossed the swelling tide. Well, yesterday the tide was swelling. I mean, the waves were pounding. But you know, the hymn writer Fanny Crosby wasn't looking for Canada. She wasn't looking for the U.S. or any other country in the world, but she was looking beyond. When I can meet my Savior face to face.
First of all.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Some of you know the story tonight, but I want to get your attention to it. About 6 years ago, tonight I'll be speaking to youth and all the way up. I believe every message should hit somebody somewhere. I mean, not just to be rude or anything, but to either encourage or to warn. 6 years ago, it was a nice Saturday evening, and we got a call. And they said our youth were out in Ottawa, witnessing on the street, and there was some unrest going on. And they said to pray. And a couple of minutes later, we got another call, and they said our son is stabbed. Yeah. I think the locals heard that already. But I want to tell you, young people, it's an evil world out there. And a lot of more people are dying. They're not just stabbed literally by a knife. They're stabbed by sin to the core. Tonight there is an answer for that. It is that our son was stabbed, and they took him to the hospital, and he recovered, thankfully good, but it was about an inch away from the spine and an inch away from his lung. Could have been fatal. And her son said, yes, I can forgive her, you know, for that. But it would have been a lot harder if he would have been paralyzed. Would have been a test that doesn't come by just merely right thinking. It would come only by a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he recovered. Tonight, a lot of people are being stabbed, literally. It's an awful world around, dear people, but a lot of more of our people are stabbed by sin. And not recovering. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. I'll repeat it. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a character, sow a character, and reap a destiny. Tonight there's a destiny before each one. Yes, there is. And because of who Jesus Christ is and the love he has for you and me, he wants only volunteers to come to him. He isn't forcing anybody to follow him. But he has given us all the privileges to hear the gospel message. And he's given you a privilege tonight to be here to hear the word of God. And you have to decide what you want to do. Nobody's forced. And this is why Christianity is different than any other religion. It's free. You are a Muslim. If you don't want to be a Muslim, the head comes off. That's how they oftentimes run their system. But praise God tonight. Christianity, a person can make a personal decision of what they want to do about Jesus Christ. My titles are usually short. One word tonight, it's courtship. Courtship. Some of you are married, and I think there are more here tonight maybe that are not married than the other nights that were here. Courtship is a very beautiful time. It should be. For a man and a woman who have given themselves Jesus Christ preeminence in their life. And as a man and a woman come together and they're seeking the will of God. And friends, this will of God is more than a mouth testimony. But it is shown by your life. It is shown by your actions through courtship. And tonight, if I would ask you, any one of you, I don't know if there's somebody courting here tonight or not. I won't put you on the spot. I was in Bible school here a while back for evangelists. And so to get the young people's attention, then I asked them, and who wishes to be courting? And there were a number of honest people that put their hand up. I was a little surprised, but I was glad for the honesty. You know, we need honesty. And nothing wrong with that, but be that as it may, they were honest about it. But everyone, every person, even the most secular in the world, would say when they are dating whatever, they want a good marriage. Yeah, they want this to go on and on. And if that is true, then why not start right so you have a chance of ending right? Because many people are starting wrong, even in the Mennonite churches and Amish churches across our nation, they're starting wrong. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 1, pardon me, verses 8. It says here, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." On to verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Do we get that? There's an evil world out there, and we have an enemy. And they will try to get you young people and older people, whatever, and they'll guide you, get young ladies, whatever. They're out there. On to verse 15, it says, "My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy feet from their path." Proverbs 2:1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments." My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And we can go on and on in these verses. In Proverbs 3 verse 1 it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let mine heart keep my commandments." Verses 11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Do we love correction tonight or don't we? The scripture says the Lord will chasten every child of his so that we can become more pure and more holy day by day. It says here in verse 21, the same chapter. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 4, verses 3 and 10. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Down to verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 5, 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding. The proverb writer was saying, my son, I want to get your attention. I have something to say to you. My son, my son. He loved his son. And he was saying, I want to get your attention. Verse 20. Proverbs 5, verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why? Proverbs 6, verse 20. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 7, 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. The proverb writer, Solomon, I believe it is. He said, my son, am I getting your attention? Am I getting through to you? I have something to tell you. And I don't know what made Solomon write these works. Because as he was going through life and was coming to the close of his days, he said, as I look over my vineyards, as I look over all my property, as I am the richest man in the world, he said, all is vanity of vanities. And maybe he saw where his children were. He said, my son, don't follow the path that I'm in. He wanted his son to be spared from hell. Solomon didn't end off very good. No, he didn't. Solomon wanted youth to know what it means to be under the protection of their parents. Solomon wanted youth to know wisdom, and that is to fear a holy God. And we could go on and on. Tonight, dear people, Solomon wanted to have these things in their proper order to keep youth pure in everyday life. And what is needed for youth to keep from fornication is also needed for married people to keep from adultery. So married people, if you're here tonight, listen in. My son, my son. The cry goes out, my daughter. And tonight I ask you as parents, are you awake? If you have teenage children, are you awake? There are a lot more people dying out there without stab wounds, but they're stabbed by sin and fornication, and they're on the road to hell. Proverbs 6, 23 to 29. For the commandment is a lamp, and a law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman is a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. People say it is the man only. Tonight I say it is only not only the man's fault, it is also the woman's fault. Yes, indeed. I was driving through cities already, you know, in foreign third world countries, that the women are out in the street, they're whistling at you, and they have all kinds of things to get your attention. An ungodly woman is worse than an ungodly man once they come to that state, that they go that far. It seems there's an overboard in that, when they become immoral. Dear people, tonight, a man cannot lead a sensual woman, but you can leave, and you better see it in your courtship days, friends, if you're courting a woman like that. Because finally, if you have a flirting girlfriend, as it were, if you have a flirting girlfriend, then she won't stop flirting just because of marriage. She'll continue to flirt. And I'm very plain with my language tonight, because if her heart isn't changed within, there are other people that will know that she's flirting too. Yeah. We have a lot of things going on in our plain circles that is not good. She won't stop and you won't stop flirting just because you're married. But I'll tell you who can stop it: to be changed by the power of the Word of God, to be changed by Jesus Christ and Him alone. You men are called out to lead in high standards. Yes, you are. But there were a few questions that were asked here in verse 27 and 28. He said, can a man take fire in his bosom? Can you? Can a man walk upon hot coals? Can you? No. Each person has to answer these questions tonight, and the youth and the courting couples and older singles and married, you cannot do that. Unless I forget tonight, my message is on courtship. But let us never forget older singles among us. Sometimes those are shelved, and God forbid for the church to do that. We love older singles tonight. They come in handy in our churches. Yes, they do. Extremely handy. I mean, not just to... we need you. We need you. In plain words, that's what I'm saying. You know. But let us married people also reach out to the older singles among us. They have their struggles. They do. They have their things they work through. Where do we fit in? You know, sometimes we're too old to be with the young people and they don't know for sure where. Married people, have them in your home. In a Sunday noon meal. Yeah. And if they're at home crying because nobody loves them and they were invited, then it's your problem. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we can't dwell in self-pity. But tonight I want to say this very clearly. If you are in the will of God, that's where the blessings are. Whether you're married, whether you're an older single, or whether you're a teenager. And may I say this? If you're not enjoying teenage life because you're wishing you were married all the time, you have a problem too. Enjoy each day of your life, as it were. Have time for them in your home. Remember, to be in God's will is the ultimate, whether single or married. But for all people, one thing we have to be clear tonight, and is you have to be pure. Whether walking on coals or having fire in your bosom, the results are the same, and it isn't healed with burdock ointment, but it's only healed with old-fashioned repentance with God. And I'm not slamming burdock ointment. It's a good product. But it doesn't heal these kind of burns. No, it doesn't. Let's get right to the point tonight, so that as you leave tonight, you know what I mean. Yeah. I don't believe in fooling around and standing here all night and you don't know what I said. Hands off courtship. No kissing, no petting is a no-no for the child of God. Do we hear it? Did we hear it? No amens, but anyway. These things have to be settled on your first evening together by the two of you. Otherwise, your friendship better stop until you see the holiness of God and you can see what the proverb writer was saying when he said, "My son, my son, my son," over and over. He wanted his son to have something that he himself never had, I believe. Proverbs 26, verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." And that means that we ask the Lord to examine our lives. And that should be our request for our holy God too. And maybe this is what we should request from each other. Man to woman, examine me. Am I the man or the woman that God can put his blessing on if we marry? How is my integrity? Do I stand for truth? And that is both sides of it. Am I pure to the intent on staying that way with the divine help of the Holy Spirit? Number one, is my spirit compatible with her spirit or his spirit? Do you both love the things of God? Can you talk about spiritual things, dear people? Are you sound in doctrine? And that's where it starts, friends. Example. If your girlfriend is just wearing something on her head because the church says she has to, check out what she believes. You already know what she believes in that then, but what does she believe in all other things? Sisters, if you're just doing it because you have to, I mentioned that the other night, you're doing it because the Word of God says it. We have to get beyond the church standards for a life of holiness tonight, dear people. We have to realize that personally, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what I believe. That's what we have to talk about to each other. Is the man that you're interested in? Is he more interested in saying who won the last game or whatever in sports, you know, there? Is that what his talking point is? Or is he also involved in the work of the church in one way or another, handing out tracts, and when there's an activity going on in church, he's there? You know by his action that he loves to be where God's people are, where you can get to hear the Word of God. Is that the type of person that he is? How about the soul of you and hers? You know, the emotions are you on a high when together, and the rest of the week in your work clothes, you're a snob to your parents and to your siblings. Courtship is to get to know each other better, and I tell you this, how they treat the rest of their family, siblings, and their parents shows how you will be treated down the road. Keep your eyes open. That is what courtship is about. You know, to get to know each other. To get to know each other. Marriage changes very little about a person's character. You get that? But Jesus Christ will change the character if we let him. Praise God tonight for that. Marriage may reform, but tonight we need to be transformed, changed from a worm to a butterfly. Praise God. Number three, the body. You may have the most handsomest person you're courting, but what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says it is the inward beauty that is lasting. The inward beauty that is lasting. The proverb writer talks about a ruby. Peter talks about a jewel that is rare, the hidden man of the heart. What you really are when you have been broken before a holy God. You can become something beautiful, something so rare, and something so precious that God looks down from heaven and says, "My, what a tremendous jewel that is." And if God calls you a jewel, then brethren, you have a right to call her a jewel too. Yeah. Absolutely. Most times, these things are reversed in the world, and sad to say, many times in the church, on account of the results we see. Half the marriages are breaking up. Half the marriages in the secular world, half the marriages in Christian circles are breaking up. Alabama, the state of Alabama, is toying the idea of not giving marriage licenses anymore. Marriages don't last anyway, they say. Men marry men, and some don't know what they are yet until 20 years down the road or whatever, you know. Why the hassle? God forbid. And that is why the Revelation writer writes about those that are without. The Revelation writer says there are those that are without hope. It says that they are without the bliss of heaven. And then it says they are dogs. And the whole list goes on, what he mentions there in Revelations. And tonight, a lot of men and a lot of ladies are acting like dogs. I'll leave it with that. Yes, the world craves the body first, and then the soul, and last the spirituality, if there's anything left. And they ask the question tonight, do you want a good marriage? Not only for a few years, and who knows, for a few years or 70 years. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Virginia for a week of revivals, and we stayed at the preacher's house there, and his son was married, I believe, for 5 years, and she died of cancer. His son lives down the road in an empty house. And we came home from church, and you know how it is, sometimes we snack and, you know, we talk another hour and whatever, a beautiful time. He oftentimes dropped in too. Two times I said, are you coming over tonight? We need you there. Yeah. Going home to an empty house. What's there? He enjoyed the fellowship too. And a very godly young man. I was impressed by him. None of you know what life holds for you, dear people. Imagine living just for the body. You'll never make it, friends. People get older. People get lame. People get wrinkles. A while back, I saw an old couple driving down the road with an old truck, and they had old St. Bernard sitting between them. I thought, my, oh, my. There was a time lay they didn't have room for that. No. No. The love is gone for many. Now, the old St. Bernard slopping around is better than that, I guess. I mean, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. You know, but the fact is there. People will get old. And if your love is just for the body, it won't last. And that's how come all the divorces, so forth. By the way, remember, one man and one woman. And it's for life. Wrinkles or not, it's for life. And wrinkles are in bed. God puts them there for a purpose, I guess. And you get lame, I guess, then that's a sign too. But you can still love beyond all of that. And this is my heartbeat tonight for every young person, that you can step into marriage pure before God and each other and receive the innumerable blessings that go with that. Yes. And young men don't put the girls to the test. You know, you can write your letter. I guess, I don't know if anybody writes anymore a letter now. And you have to put a stamp on yet, you know, lick it off or somebody on, you know, and put it on and write and try to write your best. And years ago, that was a challenge for men, you know, start writing. But anyhow, however it's done in our day, don't pressure the girl unnecessarily. For example, this one girl, she got a letter, and she said, and the boy said, well, the Holy Spirit told me, you know, that you'll be the godly woman for me. Sounds good, you know, when God speaks to us men and says, you're the one. What happened, she got another letter the same week from another young man. He said, God told me that you're the one for my life. And so the lady over here has to decide which God she wants to listen to. You get the point? No. Don't question her and put in her spot that this is already, that you know already God's will. You don't. You might think you do. You might wish you do. No. Be realistic. You can ask the girl without all of that religious connotation that goes with it of pressuring her. Just ask her if she wants to be a friend of yours and go from there. And you can talk about God through that too, by all means. Just a sideline, you know. Be nice, be courteous. Courtship varies from country to country and culture to culture, but one thing can never vary, and that is purity, no matter what culture. Some areas, their parents do the picking. It may work at times, but parents often meddle with it in some of those countries for outward beauty or for how rich or how poor the other person's family is and what you will get from a dowry. These things are carnal. And when we seek the blessing and the will of God for two lives, we can't go by that kind of a spirit. And I'm glad the way we do it in our circles. I'm glad I had a voice in it, you know. And sometimes we need, it's not wrong to go to your parents and ask advice. What do you think of that girl? I know a number of times some young men came to me and said, they're thinking of courting a girl. They said, okay, what do you think about that person? Yes, you know, I guess, as far as I know. The best one's gone. So you'll have to settle with the rest, I guess. You know, every man better be saying that tonight. Yeah, the best one you got. I trust you can say that. If not, boy, yeah, well, then we have problems. But if a minister and if a father can say that, yes, as far as I know, that is a godly character, that you're not ashamed to have come into your home. What a blessing for a young man to start out like that. And the girl can ask her parents too, what do you think of that young man? He never shows up Wednesday night. Never there Sunday nights. Sunday mornings, yeah, pretty dressed up. He can make it. Sometimes they have a lot of good advice for us. And you know, outside of being born again and changed, this is the second most important question in life. Why wouldn't you seek advice? No. Be humble enough to seek advice. There are no shortcuts. And even if there are times when they say that, you know, again, I emphasize this is for life. But we hear divorces and all these things, and there's an innocent party. Well, I don't think there's ever an innocent party. Maybe sometimes close. It's still for life. It's serious tonight. Courtship is serious, but it can be a joyous time. Absolutely joyous. Romanian Christians, courting couples would not be left out of sight from their supervisors. How would you like that? In America. You may say, well, we are not, so you think we're not mature enough. You don't trust us. You know, don't you let us grow up. Maybe it is reversed. Maybe you don't trust your parents. What they want for you is not a lifetime of reaping, but a lifetime of rejoicing, of victory, and sharing with your children's children the power to walk in purity in a messed up world. It's possible in 2020. It is. It is. I mentioned earlier, many a young person is being stabbed, and it's deadly. It's deadly because they never get the wound cleaned by coming to Jesus Christ. Parents, are you awake? Parents should. May I also ask, as parents, you should also act in the home and in public in a decent manner so it doesn't enhance an ungodly person's thoughts. That's right. Yeah. Another thing, young ladies, if the person that has asked you, or maybe it's leap year, maybe you're doing all the asking this year. I don't know how it is. Sometimes they say that's the time ladies get a chance. But I trust that it doesn't change because you heard those old terms, you know. We're redeemed from that. But if a person asks you, how is he keeping a job? What has that got to do with it? A lot. A man that is constantly switching jobs is usually like that in the spiritual too. Not stable. Search it out. I mean, nothing wrong to change a job. I mean, but I know people, you know, every 2 months they can get 25 cents here more an hour and so forth. And they get married and it just continues on. There is no stability there. And there can be. If a young person still has to make payments on his car when he marries you, I wonder, is the car too big to begin with? Or too little and he paid too much? Yeah. How in the world can you figure on getting married and then the bills start coming? I can clue you in, man, on that. Yeah. Once you have your own property or whatever, hydrophone, and I mean on and on and on and on. Not that they're that more expensive, but more, well, there's just practical things to do. Yeah. How are they responding? And if your girlfriend, every time they drive by a store and they say, well, I better stop, it looks like they've got something pretty in there, you have to drag it home. Really? A house can fill up pretty quick, and the wallet can be empty week after week after week. I'm practical tonight. Friends, sisters, live within your means. Yeah. There are a lot of pretty things out there, but let some pretty things for others, you know. You shouldn't, your husband down the road shouldn't be constantly just living on the edge to keep supporting all the knickknacks that you can drag home from everywhere. Purity is not enhanced in a car parked down some lonely side road, or in a dark living room, or late hours at night. In fact, I believe Paul and some of these other ministries here would say, ministers' meetings don't go well in late hours of the night, and neither does pure courtship. Amen? Yeah. There's a time, if they're long meetings, there's a time to bring it to a close and go home. Ministers, courting couples. Traveling together for long distances just by yourself is not a testimony to the world, for they would say they'd never believe you. And it's not a testimony for the church either. We're living in a life of selfies. Youth leaning over each other and into each other's arms with no restraint. This is sin. Evens and engagement pictures. By the way, engagement doesn't give you more right than you had on your first date. You will talk about different plans, you will. Remember, your friend is not yours to touch or to handle. They are the parents' property until marriage. Yeah. I believe in purity tonight. I want to save you from a lot of heartaches. Because engagement doesn't give you more right to sensuality. Not at all. Not at all. You know the root word of self is self. If your friend is only texting with his friends all the time, he'll likely start doing that with you a year down the road. That's the language, friends. Courtship shouldn't end in marriage, that all you do is this. You should be able to talk. Self that has never been crucified doesn't want to be restrained in courtship, and neither will it be in marriage. Mark these words. Look at the statistics around about us. What is so devastating about an impure courtship? I've seen it again and again. Tonight you may rebel against your parents. You may rebel against the church standards or whatever. And then you're wide open with the person that you're courting for immorality. It is almost a sure thing it'll happen. Search it out. We were at a Romanian wedding. There's a Romanian church in our city, and we have a lot of Romanian friends because of my involvement with Christian Aid. And we went to this Pentecostal Romanian wedding. And you know, in a lot of our Mennonite churches, you know, a couple tells you, well, maybe 15 minutes, you know, get this message through, because we have to have a condensed ceremony so we can have a lengthy reception. Yeah. And oftentimes it ends up with a condensed marriage too. At this Romanian wedding, the preacher got up and he preached for half an hour. Another preacher got up and he preached another half an hour, and I looked at my watch, and, you know, getting hungry, you know, for men, that's a long time. Another preacher gets up and preaches another half an hour, 1.5 hours. And I had, I was so blessed. I was just kidding about the food, but I was so blessed. How they preached was better than I hear in a lot of Mennonite churches. This one preacher, he looked down at the couple in front of them. He said, and yes, by the way, he said, if you won't get along in your marriage, it's because you didn't get along in church already or with your parents. Yeah. And I thought, is this a marriage ceremony or isn't it? You know. But you know, there's a lot to that, friends. There's a lot to that. Young people tonight, you may look at how other couples act in the church or from other denominations. The word of God has this to say, this will be, and this is the final verdict in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not fornicators, or it says, be not deceived. That means don't think that you can get away with it. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And hallelujah, friends, for that, that we can be changed, we can be set free, indeed. Otherwise, my preaching would be in vain. Why would I get up here if I couldn't have something to offer you? Indeed. Let's go on to verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Some people just want to glorify God in the body. You can do a lot of external things to glorify. No. The body and the spirit glorify God. The two of them. And praise God, friends. It says here, what unrighteousness will inherit? Yeah. And included in that is fornication, sexual immorality out of marriage. Jesus' own words were, he that looketh on a woman has already committed adultery in his heart, and that is for an older person or anybody out there. And that goes for courting couples, and it gives you no right to touch her or him in a sensual manner. How many young persons have come to me already and said they were holding hands, and finally it became a sensual thing, and they had to stop holding hands so that they could have a pure heart and a pure mind, you know. Courtship should be a wonderful time, friends, indeed. But it's not a time for sensuality. No. Verse 18 here, it says, flee anything that hinders your mind and the body from staying pure. In Ephesians 5, 3-6, you can read there, I won't turn to it for lack of time, but your talking, your walking, your covetousness will bring a destiny outside of God, it says. Verse 6, it says, don't be deceived. What you are listening to tonight, you may be reading the romance books, you may have listened to country music, you may listen to rock music, whatever is out there, friends, and what you're listening to, you'll finally become like. Yes, you will. Yeah. You will. What you're reading. I mentioned the other night, those romance books are not even close to reality. But they'll feed a sensual spirit, and they'll take you down a road that when you finally get married, you end up divorcing because you thought marriage is different. It's sensuality. It is evil. Friends, what you're listening to will lead you to disobedience to the word of God. You will come under the wrath of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says this, or 1-7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, young people, O people, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness tonight, dear people. Indeed. And you know, I could go on to then talk about the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ, which is in the same chapter. It says there, every child of God in the twinkling in a moment of an eye shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. But no person is going to be in that group unless you're also staying pure in the first part of the chapter. Yeah. That is what is needed to give you the blessed hope tonight, is to walk pure before God. And then I guarantee you by the grace of God, whether your marriage is long or short, that you can anticipate and long for that great day when we can meet Jesus Christ face to face. What a glorious day that will be. First of all, it says, this is for everyone, that your life is not a possession of lust, that all you can think of and talk of and listen to and look at is just lustful and dirty thoughts. For such people know not God. And the rest, I talked about the rest of Thessalonians there. In Hebrews 13:4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge whether the government allows it or not. God will judge. Whether the church allows it or not, God will judge. There's many a minister with blood on their hands tonight. They're allowing all kinds of remarriages and everything else out there. God will judge. According to this book, he will. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Friends, what a testimony for young people. Love that verse, live that verse. In 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16, it talks about in all manner of conversation, walk a godly life. That conversation means to put it into action. Walk day by day. That your conduct would be godly. And this includes modesty for both sides. Do you fit in to where the church you attend at? Or are you pushing the lines, friends? If you want a good marriage, it starts there. And I know different churches have different guidelines. I'm not out there tonight to run all those things. But if you're not fitting in where you are, get right with God. Read Proverbs again, and the results are spelled out in black and white. Prince William was attracted to Kate, to her wife, his wife Kate, by her immodesty. Again, if you see that flirtiness and that immodesty in your friend, others will also see and flirt with them. Flirting is a language, friends. That isn't just spoken in English or German, whatever. It's a body language. In order for courtship to blossom, first you need to be born again. Otherwise, you'll never know God's will. Are you prepared to court? Because it is better. Oh, when you are prepared to court, it better be the goal for marriage. Does that mean you will marry that person? Not necessarily. That's not what I'm saying. And the first night of your date, you're likely not talking about marriage either. No. But why would you take her out if that isn't what you would desire down the road? And tonight, let's be sensitive. We all know people that have courted in a godly courtship, and it didn't work out. And then what's the duty of the church? Put it on the hotline? Get everybody gossiping? No. Find out what was all wrong? One or the other or both? No. We're called to pray. What is the church's duty? Reach out to those people in a time like that. That's rough. It's not easy. Maybe they were courting half a year and they thought everything was going good, and somehow the Lord brought something in their life that they said, no, this is. And what a blessing for those two people when they had a godly courtship to then part. And down the road, they see each other and they wave to each other with a clear conscience. That's the peace of God. As friends still. But how many couples are out there? When they see each other, it reminds them of sin that has never been taken care of. I know a man in Pennsylvania that dated 20 girls. Before he found the right one, and I doubt if he ever found the right one. Friends, if you date that many, if you're just one girl to the next, and you think the best in that one and that one, and finally you come down to number 20, and she has to have all the qualities of the best in those other 20, it'll never happen to your people. The one that you're looking for, is still a human being that still needs the grace of God in his life. We're not perfect, redeemed, aiming for perfection. You'll never find the perfect one. Courtship is not the time to bring an unequal yoke together, winning a Catholic or whatever else you might do. Courtship is not the time to be the counselor for a lot of personal issues, no. Those things better be worked out before by somebody else than leaving until then. There was a non-Mennonite couple, or non-Mennonite people, and they were at a Bible camp years ago. And they had high goals, higher than a lot of Mennonites. And there was a young man that came up to this girl at the camp, and he thought she acted decent, and he thought he would like to court her. And so the girl asked her father, "What do you make of this?" Well, he said, "No, you can't court her. I don't know this man from Adam. I don't know who he is. How come would I let you go off with this person?" You know, the girl, she loved her parents, and she was under the umbrella of God and the parents. She was willing to listen to the parents without being rebellious. The father said, "I'm going to write that young man a letter." Again, we're going back years, you know, letters. And he wrote him a letter. The young man wrote back. The girl didn't know what was going on. He never said much, the dad, to the about what was in the letters, what they were writing. The father started more powerful questions, and the young man just responded back. Dad enjoyed this. He saw that this was a spiritual young man that was not upset because there were parents involved that were concerned about him. And I believe they did this for about a year. I don't know how often that year. But at the end of that year, the dad told his daughter, I booked a plane flight for that man to come across the country to see you." When the parents are enthused, what the children, who the children are dating, what a blessing, friends. What a blessing. When you can put your blessings upon your son and your daughter and say, "Go for it!" They were married half a year later. Courting tonight is to know God's will and each other's will in marriage. And it will only be discerned if the spiritual is first and everything is kept pure. Discernment discernment leaves when impurity starts. You can count on it. Friends will either draw us closer to God or further away from God. Tonight, young people, we love you. We love you. In this group of people, I don't know if the Lord grants you marriage or not, but my heartbeat is for you. And if he does, you could sense the blessing upon you. You could sense your parents' blessing upon you. You know, in what a way. And the church is rejoicing because two godly people met. What a joy. What a joy. Shall we pray?